Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better. Hey guys, welcome to the end of January. Well, we determined that with this cold snap that's going on here in the last week of January, it might be just a little too chilly to go out on the ice at night just for a quick couple hours. So we thought we'd jump in the studio and record some tips and ideas for you guys about cold weather fishing. I mean, when I say cold weather, I'm talking extreme weather here. I mean, zero and below kind of stuff. And we're experiencing that this winter. And it's been a few winters since we've seen that.
Yeah, it's going to make some great ice for us in the long run.
But there's some cautions that you need to be aware of, because it's not just any old day out on the ice. You got to be aware that, you know, hypothermia can set in, frostbite.
Yeah, you got to dress for conditions.
Yeah, you got to dress for it. You got to plan on it. Reaching into a hole to grab that crappie that spit the hook, you know, maybe ain't the best plan with a bare hand. And if you do, get it dry and get it back in the glove real quick.
Yeah.
You can do some damage really quick out there in this weather if you're not in a shelter or something like that. And a lot of times especially when we're hole hopping, we don't bother to set up that shelter. And so you want to take some extra concerns in on that stuff. Now, I know that hypothermia, they say that when your core body temperature dips down into the mid-80s, that's really, really dangerous time. I know that a lot of guys get out there and they stay fishing too long.
Yeah, regardless, they just don't know any better. They just stay out there till the bitter end, and sometimes they take it too far.
If your feet are hurting, that means you can still feel them. If your feet quit hurting, you're probably in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of products out there. There's those hand warmers, and they've got the toe warmer model.
Yeah, boot warmers, yep. Electric socks.
Electric socks. Number one rule that I have is make sure that your socks are good and dry. Before you get in the boots, make sure the boots are good and dry.
Yep.
You know, there's nothing like having a little water under the felt pack to ruin your fishing day. And I know that when I leave the brewery here, working with liquid all day, quite often I can get wet. So I want to make sure that I'm dry before I start, because I don't want to ruin my day that way.
And myself, I use the Mickey Mouse boots. You go to your local Army surplus stores, you can typically pick up a used, slightly maybe damaged pair or whatever for like $35.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're like maybe $70 if they're in mint condition. But you can always find something wrong with them and chew them down for half price.
Right, right.
And $35, you get those white pairs of the Mickey Mouse boots. They're rated for minus 40.
Yeah.
The black pairs are rated for minus 20. They're still awful warm. My feet.
Still want to put a good pair of socks in there. Maybe two layers of socks in this kind of weather.
And you get the one with the air valve in them.
Yep. They're, if you guys haven't seen them, they're these big military jump boots that you remember seeing from the old 50s movies and 60s movies and stuff. But the surplus stores have them. Pretty reasonable. Occasionally you can find them on eBay for a deal, but usually not in the winter.
Yeah.
They're pretty precious then.
Well, and Cabela sells them new for like $180, so you definitely want to just get them from an Army surplus store.
Yeah.
It's the best deal going.
Save some money for jigs there. But, you know, when you're going out, you want to make sure that you have that. I like to also tuck a second pair of gloves in somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times, I'll put them behind the chest piece of my bibs.
Keep them warm.
They're toasty warm, and when it gets time to walk back and haul that sled back, even if I've gotten wet, you know, my one glove wet, reaching for a fish because I just get too excited when there's a 13-inch crappie laying there in the hole looking at me with my lure that I just snapped off in his mouth, I might get a glove wet.
Going for it.
So you want to be prepared for that walk back, because it could be a long, cold walk. And we've been getting a lot of snow lately, which brings me to another subject. Don't get all sweated up walking out there.
Yeah,
it's unzip. Not a race.
Yeah, unzip and vent walking out there.
Yeah, make sure that you're not sweating too much, because once again, that's just water that's going to get cold, sucking heat away from your body, and you could get in trouble. So really, really, you want to just plan for it. Now, I know that you've got that great new Chappelle Bay Runner Shanty.
Mm-hmm.
That thing sets up so easy, and it's so nice looking and stuff, but there's a lot of shelters out there. Whether you go down to my scavenged AT&T tents, or we saw those guys the other day when we were out there fishing out of a turkey blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just something to break the wind. Yeah. And if you put a little heat in there, can probably be really nice and toasty warm. Now, getting a shelter and setting that shelter up, one of the things that I learned the hard way is if it's not a sled-based one like the Bay Runner, where you're sitting in it and your big fat butt is holding it down, you might want to think about some anchors. Now, I know your brother, Al, he had those little wire ones with the threads on them that you crank into the ice.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to say those are a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
Now, I decided that I would be a little smarter about it. I went to Home Depot, and I bought some 7-inch lags, just 3/8 lags. I got some 7/16, I got some 3/8, depending on which 10 I use, and I put a nut driver in that cordless drill that I drill holes with. You know, I got an auger in there. I just unchucked the auger. I put that nut driver in there. Zip, zip, zip. I've got my tent anchored.
It's not going anywhere.
And I didn't have to sit there for a half hour on my knees cranking some little thing into the ice and chipping and stuff. I just crank some speed to it and bam, in they went. And they come out the same way. Very super easy. And what do you spend? $1 a piece on them at Home Depot? It's nothing.
Yeah. And you want to be cautious using heaters in a shanty. Keep a little vent hole open at the top.
Yep.
Just to keep some fresh air moving through there for you, whether you're using a Coleman lantern to heat yourself or a propane heater.
Yeah, Coleman lantern kicks out a lot of heat.
Oh, it sure does.
And then I know a lot of guys from their deer blinds and stuff, they bring out their little Mr. Heater buddy or buddies and stuff and little blast furnaces that I call them, because they'll get that little shanty toasty to the weird point you want to take your jacket off.
Oh, yeah. You're sitting there in a t-shirt.
But even when you're hole hopping in this kind of weather, it might be a good idea to set up a shelter of some sort, just so you can get out of the wind once in a while. Maybe you got some heat in there. Or if you're taking the kids or the girlfriend or the wife probably is not going to want to set out on a bucket as long as you will.
No. And neither are kids. They want to be enjoyable, warm. A kid gets their feet cold, they're done. They're going to have a miserable experience and not want to go next time. So,
and they're going to ruin your day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a pretty good idea. And a lot of people have the little shelters, little one-man flip-overs, so you're all alone. Some of the guys have the bigger units that can handle a few guys. And there's a few of us that have found that wayward AT&T tent that'll hold about 12 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
don't need no heater in there. You just pack it with people and you got enough body heat to keep it warm.
That and the lips flapping sure seems to heat the air up.
And it keeps the corny from freezing up.
Oh, yeah. And if you're going to take a little beer, that's a good point, too. Now, another thing that you want to make sure of when you're out there in this really cold weather, and it's something that we were both doing yesterday, is making sure that we didn't let the auger freeze up, get iced up. Because wet auger blade and you get some snow on it and stuff, now you got big chunks of ice on it, it's not going to perform right. It's not going to bite right when you go to drill another hole. It's just trouble. So really the trick is give that thing a real good rinse off and then set it up over maybe the edge of the
Keep it out of the snow.
Keep it up out of the snow so that stuff doesn't pack up onto the blades.
And if you find yourself with a real iced up tip, just stick it in a hole and let it sit there for 5-10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. That water's like 34, 33 degrees, so it's going to thaw it.
Then when you drill your next hole, it pops right off there.
Oh, yeah. And also, you know, like the guys do at the Worlds, you can always just half drill a hole and leave it sitting there in the ice chips. And that's going to be better for it than sitting in the loose powdery snow that might have gotten some water on it and stuff. Just do it a little ways away from where you're fishing.
Yeah, that's not too bad with the 4, 5, 6-inch augers. You start doing half holes with the 8 or the 10-inch augers, and you can really do you can hurt somebody if they step in those open holes. So,
well, 10-inch augers are like,
oh, man.
They're huge. I remember when we thought they were cool.
Oh, they are cool, but to some degree, but you can go in up to your thigh, the damn thing.
Or well, unless you got big feet through. Like us, yeah.
Oh, no, I went into my thigh. I fell in one.
It's a big hole. Yeah. But you want to just be extra careful out there. And, you know, just like we talked in early ice, it might be a good idea to have changed clothes in case you do slip and fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and get wet. Not everybody's wearing a waterproof suit. And it can really ruin your day. And that's the last thing we want anybody having when they're out there fishing on the hard water is a bad day. So just kind of wrapping up this segment, cold weather, you got to really prepare for it. Dress for it, wear your good suit, wear some layers. I know even with my Polar Fire suit, I throw an extra fleece underneath it and stuff in this cold weather and stuff. You just want to make sure that you're not going to chill out, get too cold, while you're out there. We want you to have a great time.
Yeah, and when you're out there, don't forget to wear something for your face, something really good, because that walking into that wind coming off from Reed's yesterday, a nice ski mask or a scarf to cover your face with really helps you.
Or a 4-inch thick beard like I'm sporting this year.
Exactly.
It kind of, I noticed that, you know, I haven't shaved, even trimmed in like 3 weeks. That wind wasn't bothering me a bit. So,
no.
But we'll get a pair of safety glasses can really help you out too, just for the walking and stuff. I know that when I ride the quad, I wear the helmet with the full face shield, just so that wind and sleet and ice and all that crap just doesn't dry out my eyes, make my eyes start watering as I'm driving the quad. Same thing goes when you're walking. A pair of safety glasses in your pocket, just cheap, scratched up, junky ones, are fine to walk off the ice to.
Especially if it's snowing or sleeting and that stuff's getting in your eyes. Like they're a sight saver for sure.
For sure.
Another thing I like to do is the gloves that I use. I use those Ice Armor Extreme gloves. They're waterproof. And like when you said, when you're reaching a hole to grab that fish, you can do it with these gloves on because your hands aren't going to get wet. But after a while, you got to keep breaking those gloves up because they would just freeze solid.
You're a little crunchy, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I know a bunch of the guys have gone to wearing the latex underneath their gloves. That just gives you another added layer of thermal protection underneath your glove in case your glove does get wet, that water's not getting to your hand. And those little lightly dusted latexes are really good for that. So, guys, when we get back, we're going to actually talk about some of the ways that technique has to change when we're out there in this cold weather. You're listening to the MI Ice Guys, Chaz and Steph here at the brewery, back in the studio, drinking a little beer, talking hard water fishing, staying warm in this late January sub-polar vortex, freeze my butt off kind of weather.
Arctic blast.
We'll be right back. How would you like your business to be part of MI Ice Guys? We're always looking for sponsors to help us pay the bills, get us out there on the ice a little more, and get you the exposure you need. Whether your business is related to ice fishing, or you just think that ice fishermen would like to know about you, drop us a line at report@miiceguys.com, and we'll get you in contact with the right people to see what we can do to work together. Once again, that's miiceguys.com, and you can contact us there at any time. Hey, it's the MI Ice Guys. We've been out fishing the last few days, but cold snap kind of brought us back into the studio. And we covered some safety concerns in the first segment, but right now we want to touch base on how does fishing change when it's really this cold? Now, the first thing that everybody always asks, how's the bite? What's the bite doing? Everything. I'll tell you, we were out there yesterday for a couple hours. I was out there for about 3 hours yesterday, and the bite was tough. They were finicky. When you got them to bite, they were good fish.
Yeah.
But boy, coaxing them in was a little bit of a different matter yesterday. And I know you were trying a whole lot of different programs yesterday, trying to find something that'd work.
Yeah, I kept mixing it up and went dark and smaller and got a few out there in the deeper water to pop on that right away. But then I came back over by you guys and it was, you start jigging above him, you'd get one. And when he started rocking up toward it, he was going to nail it. But then you have others that just kind of creep up. And they weren't going to touch it. They're just going to come up and nose it and look at it.
Yep, yep. And, you know, it took me 3 hours to get 16 fish.
Yeah.
And out on our secret crappie hole there, which isn't getting to be much of a secret anymore. Everybody finds the two big guys wearing gray.
Yeah, wait till the tournament.
Yeah. They're all going to be right on us. But the bite's a little different. And I think a lot of that has to be with these extreme high and low pressure centers that are whipping through and changing the barometric pressures moving. You know that moves the ice up and down, that screws with the fish. It changes things.
Yeah, and a lot too is the amount of snow that we got put a lot of weight on the ice. So when you drill a hole, you might have water coming up through it, make a big wet spot. But that adds pressure to the lake if there's not a lot of holes to release that. And that also shuts the fish down. We haven't had that happen out at Mille Lacs on us.
Yeah, it's a different game when you're fishing out there in that stuff.
In shallow water, it can really shut the fish down, and they can be really turn into almost a lethargic mode where they're just not interested in nothing.
Right. Now, the bluegill, I know that the guys have been reporting that those have been slowing down a little bit. out there with this extreme cold. But the ice is getting 10 inches thick in most places around Grand Rapids here.
Yeah, we're going to have fantastic ice here by the weekend. I mean, it's great already for Grand Rapids.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, back when we started recording shows in December, we were all praying for some December ice, and all of a sudden we're getting great December ice, and then January has gone out standing ice. It's just thick. What? It's getting to be a different game. I mean, I was running the auger down quite a ways, and with the snow load, I'm running near the length of the auger. I'm like, whoa.
Dang. Be driving the truck out there soon.
Yeah, well,
I don't know how much the Reeds Lake people would like that.
Yeah, East Grand Rapids.
Driving a truck out there, they probably
my big
flip.
Diesel rolling out there. They might have an issue with that. But the fish definitely have changed the bite a little bit. And I noticed I had to jig a little harder. I had to change my patterns up from time to time.
Yeah.
To get those crappie to move up there. And fishing without electronics on crappie in this kind of stuff,
it's difficult because you know what jigging action is attracting a particular fish, and you can maintain that action to keep them coming right up to your lure.
Yeah,
so that's really
our one buddy
critical.
Jackson that came out to join us, he didn't have electronics and it was really tough for him.
Yeah.
Of course, it was his very first time ice fishing, and we wanted to make sure that he got to try it anyway. I wish I could have got him a fish, but I was trying. But some other things that you really want to keep track of is a little bit of hole management. Now, after you drill that hole, you want to make sure that you clear it real good, because once there's ice crystals in it, more ice is going to form over in there. Moving your transducer back and forth, that can help clear the hole.
When you're catching fish and you're pulling the transducer out on every fish, or just about every fish, you're breaking that ice up on the hole and keeping it clear. So.
Yeah, but if you're working hard in this tough bite, you might have to use what I call the butt twist.
Oh, yeah.
Now, our units are mounted, our flashers are mounted to our buckets on a rig that you call a hopper bucket. And what we've learned is a little butt twist that when you've got a fish on, that you can kind of twist the bucket on the ice there, and it pulls the transducer up and out of the way.
So you don't snag the fish
on it. So you don't snag the fish on it. And then you pull the fish up past, then you do the butt twist back, and down it goes.
Yeah.
But I learned that yesterday was the hole was freezing up. I do the little butt twist to wag it back and forth and keep the hole clear. Hole freezing up is a problem.
Well, that and your line.
Line
you,
getting
if
chunks
you're digging
on it.
In the same spot and you're tight lining like we are watching the high visibility line, ice builds up on a line. So on occasion, you got to pull it up and clean that ice off from it so you can watch your line better.
Well, when that wind picked up last night, I actually changed poles just to go to one with clean line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I got back home, I pulled those rods out and I did my traditional little maintenance run on the rods. Now, a lot of guys just shove them back in the bucket. Now, you can run into some really sad days with that. Our good buddy John Stitka come in the other day and told me how he had broke off his favorite lure that he caught all his fish on last year. And it was a Scandia lure. So luckily I had one in my stash that was the same. He was happy that he got a new lure.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, well, how often do you retie that? He says, retie it. I says, man, that's 2-pound test. Yep. That stuff ain't real durable. It gets those little nicks in there on that. And I know I see you giving it the, the run it through your fingers.
Yeah, feel for any nicks when you're putting it in and out of the bucket. There's chances are that's going to get it nicked at some point or another. And, I mean, sometimes I might have caught a limit of crappie on one jig and plastic tie-up. And that knot will get weak over time, so I'll retie that just because.
Right,
I might not feel anything, but that knot has caught so many fish on that jig, I don't want to lose it.
Right, right. And, you know, that's a great thing to do on these days. It might be just a little too cold and a little inhospitable to get out there on the ice. I know that when we were dragging the equipment out yesterday, both ways, there's a lot of snow out there right now. It's mm-hmm. coming up on a foot deep.
Oh, yeah.
And you're trudging through that. Now I got my big bibs on. I got my monster boots on.
Cthulhas.
It gets to be a bunch of work dragging that sled back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
So there are days, especially since we've been catching fish really well, and it doesn't look like the ice is going to go away until, I don't know, June, July or something like that, it seems like. I know I'm kidding, but it seems like it at times. Take the afternoon that you're not going out fishing, set down the kitchen table, your workbench, wherever you got space to do it, the coffee table. Spool off 10, 15, 20 feet of line. Get rid of it. Especially if you feel any nicks in it and stuff, because even those ice crystals that form on it can cause damage to the line. And retie that jig.
Yeah.
And do it in good bright light where it's easy to do, that you're not out in the wind where your fingers are getting cold, and you can get that line just a real pretty fisherman's knot on there, or whichever knot you like to use, and do it on the days that you can't go fishing, but it kind of feels like you're fishing because you're fishing in the kitchen.
Yeah, bring those poles inside and the rods and reels. Let them defrost and dry out completely. So when you go out there the next time, you're not going to be iced up or anything. They'll be nice and ready to go.
Yep. Yep.
And I use a lot of schoolies, and even those, you want to bring them in and thaw them out.
Now, one thing that I have the luxury of doing here in the brewery is I have a big, huge, long room. And occasionally, I will stretch those things out and then rewind them back up. You know, and I can back up 30, 40 yards and wind them up. And that way you make sure that you don't have any kinks, any ice crystals embedded into them, any loops or potential bird's nests that you're going to cause yourself out on the ice. It's a good maintenance thing to do. Just check them out. Good dry equipment. Even drying out the rod bag.
Yeah.
Oh, my rod bags were starting to get crusty. Just frozen up. They'd never thaw because they're just riding around the back of the pickup truck.
Well, your fish finders, too. If they're riding around the back of the pickup truck, they're going to get salt and everything else on them. You know,
oh, yeah.
Wipe those things down and clean them up because that salt will do damage to those components.
Well, luckily I got a lid on my pickup truck so I don't get the salt. But it still needs a good thaw out. And, you know, taking it inside, giving it a real good charge and clean everything out and wash your fish bucket so it doesn't quite smell so bad. And the frozen tails that are on the sides and stuff, you can get those out of there because... You know, you gotta look good when you're out there. Yeah.
Another thing to remember, too, is your transducer if you're using electronics. Keeping that free of snow and slush and ice. On both of my buckets, I got it set up with like a neoprene beer koozie.
Yep, that's so what I use, too.
So when I take that thing off from there, off the ice, you just don't want to throw it in the bucket and have it get all scratched up, banged around, and everything else. Throw it in that neoprene koozie. It protects it, pads it from any impacts, and keeps it clean.
Yep, I just cut little corners, holes in there, and zip-tied it to my rig. And so as soon as I pull it out of the water to put it back in the sled, tuck it in there, and it keeps it nice and safe, not banging that piece of expensive equipment around. And, you know, I also had the problem yesterday that I was getting a little ice buildup around the face of the flasher. It was, you know,
oh, yeah.
A little drip of the fish here, a little snow buildup here, there. And all of a sudden, it started to, the lines are getting blurry.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed to get those cleaned out.
Yeah, with the Markham or the LX5 and some of the Vexilars, the FL18, the 8, they have that cone shape. They do make covers for those to keep snow and ice out of there. But like on my Vexilar, the FLX28, it has a big screen on it, and they left a gap at the bottom. So any water on there just runs right out the bottom, or you just take your finger and swipe it, and it's gone.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, my LX5, I was starting to get a little ice on there.
And on those, too, if you're using meat and you're constantly getting in and out of sawdust and whatnot, I guess, down in there, take a Q-tip and kind of get it moist and wipe the inside of that. Clean that all out nice so you can watch those marks so you don't miss anything when you're fishing.
Yep. So drying all your gear out's a good thing. Now, the sled. We had talked about this earlier. A lot of those sleds.
Shanties
and stuff, they're plastic. They got runners. A lot of us have added the UHMW runners to the bottom of them so that we can drag them across a parking lot there without wearing through the sled. That causes drag.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's like adding sandpaper. You're roughing it up.
So a little smoothing out on that, you know. Mm-hmm. Flip it over, empty it out, flip it over, get all the junk out of it. And do a little cleanup on it. Or if it's a burr, just take your little knife and nick the burr off on it and stuff. But then a coat of wax.
Mm-hmm.
And now we were talking about the coat of wax, and I was thinking about going over to the automotive store and getting a little spray wax, you know, and wiping that on there, thinking, oh, that'll make it slick. Remembering those days as a kid when I was doing up the toboggan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then you brought up a really cool idea of just you grabbing some household furniture wax.
Yeah, some Pledge or end dust or whatever. Spray that on there and it's, perfect.
Oh, and get caught with the rag and the end dust. The wife will think you're dusting and, oh, you might get dessert.
You might get bonus points.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, doing a little preparation on the days that are too cold or the days that just it doesn't work out to get out there is a good plan. And it makes for a lot better trip the next time you go out to make sure that you've got that stuff. You don't lose your jig, that you don't lose your favorite spot. You don't, all this stuff. Just do some maintenance on it. You know, break in line when they're right there next to the hole and they don't float up. Oh, how sad that is.
All your favorite jigs are tied on. If you got a fly dropper on there, everything's good to go.
Yeah. Having preparation ready, and a lot of us own multiple rods, so just go through the rods, get everything rigged up the way you want it, get it all set to go, and you can be ready to go on that. Well, hey, when we come back, I think we're going to do a little bit of tournament recap, because we got a little bit of news from a couple of the tournaments, and we've got a couple of real local ones here in West Michigan that are coming up.
Yep.
We got the results from the Open, so it's the MI Ice Guys. Remember, hey, I know the ice is good, but still put it out there on the ice map, will you please? MIIceGuys.com. Just click on ice map, see what's going on, click on report, and give us a report of what's been going on with you. We'll be right back. Hey guys, you got a picture of your good catch? Maybe that big whopper crappie barely fit through the hole? Whatever it is, everybody loves seeing a good ice fishing picture. So feel free to upload those to the MI Ice Guys Facebook page. You can find us facebook.com/MIIceGuys. Hoping to see you some big ones. Guys, Steph just announced we have fresh beers. He has a pretzel. We're ready to get back to recording here.
Rock and roll.
Hey, tournaments. Now, you know we've talked a number of times about tournaments, but we've got some big news. Some of our buddies in the recent weeks have done really well. The first one we're going to talk about is the Knutsons over there at the Midwest Ice Open. And one of the really cool things was two of our good buddies, Myron Gilbert and Mike Bodecker, who are both on the World Ice Team, USA,
with
our buddy Chad. Second place, $3,500. That ain't no beer money.
That's some fun ice fishing right there.
Yeah.
Some serious upgrades.
They did some. They did really well. And if I know those two, it's probably going to help offset those costs over to Belarus.
Yeah.
So congratulations to those guys and everybody that was out there at the Midwest Open and turned in some good fish and stuff. Now, last time we recorded, we were out there and we were talking with Bill Ferris, who is part of the team that's putting on the Frostbite series. And Frostbite kicked off last week with their first week out at Sessions Lake. And two of our good old homeboys who fish a lot of tournaments over in that area around Lansing and everything, the Niflin father and son team, they took first place on that one.
That good.
That was a really, really good one. And, you know, some of our other buddies, they turned in pretty good numbers on that too. Bodecker and Norm, they got fourth. Old Norm Smith, you know. Yeah.
Poor Norm. Norm and Dave there did a good job of getting fourth, but...
Yeah, they're pros.
But Dave's wife came in and...
Dave's wife,
and
Jan,
and Dave's
comes
brother,
in.
Dave, came in and took third on them. That was awesome.
They school him more often. It's great.
They enjoy beating Mike because he's a gold medalist individual in the world tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to love to beat the gold medal guy. And then I see old Bill Ferris there, one of the organizers, who we had on the last episode. He actually, him and his partner, Rob Batter, got fifth place. So that's some cool. And there's a whole lot more going on with that. And that Frostbite series, now this week, on the 1st of February, for those of you listening quick enough, they're going to be out to Wabasas Lake and doing this series again. Now, they start out 7 o'clock in the morning. It's just around the West Michigan area here, so it's kind of Lansing to Grand Rapids area. And I'll tell you, Norm had nothing but good things to say about that tournament except for what he had to say about his quad. And I guess Norm and his quad had an argument, and the battery was the center of that argument. But then coming up on the 15th, Frostbite Series is going to be over right here on our honey hole.
Our neck of the woods.
The Reeds Lake. So we may have to, if we don't have a conflicting obligation, we may have to be over there and show them how that goes. Now, also going on this weekend, it's a busy, busy weekend, is the tournament out there at Hamlin Lake, the Michigan Ice Open. Now, Michigan Ice Open's a really cool one to go to because if you win at that one, Yeah. You're guaranteed into the Midwest Open as a entry fee taken care of and everything. It's really a cool thing to do. Uh-huh. What else we got going on there? Oh, yeah. The one down in Caledonia, the fun little one down there, yeah, with the Legion. The Sons of the American Legion post, I think it's 305 down there in Caledonia. They're fishing a two-lake tournament. It's Campbell Lake and over there on Emmons. And Emmons is like right down there, just north of downtown. You kind of sneak around the old Sam's joint there, down the little back drive, and you're down there to the Caledonia Park, and you can fish Emmons. And they're having a real nice time. And I've talked to a bunch of those vets that, and the sons of vets out there that are doing that, and there's some great things going on. Then the next weekend, we've got the one out there at your dad's place, Blue Lake.
Blue Lake.
That's... And our good buddy Pat Bloom, his cabin's up there too.
Blue Lake, Maston, Muskellunge, Black. Little Muskellunge, Black Lake, and Lincoln Lake.
Yeah, they're all kind of interconnected by channels there, and they run one little association that has a tournament up there, and they'll have a good time at that one. But you're going to be over on Croton for the NAIFC.
Yep, Chad and I will be fishing in Croton for the North American Ice Fishing Qualifier there.
Yeah, you might as well just go win that one and get you qualified for the Nationals. That'll be a good time. So a lot of great tournaments coming up. Unfortunately, I won't be able to join you there at Croton. I got to go do a beer festival. Yeah, big, tough job, right?
Yeah, tough call.
But if you happen to see two big guys out there in gray HT suits, it could be Steph and I. Make sure you come over and say hi and tell us that you've heard us on the podcast. It's a real good time to see people and talk to people out there. And we were doing a little bit of work the last week of finding some of those ice divers that we talked about last time. And I took a couple of pictures. I'm going to post those up to Facebook. That'll be a good time with that.
Yeah. Stop out and see us on the ice if you see us out there. Or call the phone number on the website and leave us a message about your catch or maybe an ice diver.
Yeah. If you got a good ice diver or a good catch, up on the Facebook, and I got that Facebook page set so that you guys will be able to upload the pictures that you get of your catches and kind of do a little bragging, do a little showing off. It's all fun, you know. Or, you know, if you see the guys down in the bar, tell them about it. It's a good way to show off and have a great time in the winter during this ice season. Now, in these tournaments, remember to always check their websites to make sure you know the rules, what time you got to be there. A lot of these do the night before where they have packet pickup and registration, and they don't do it the morning of.
And make sure you can count to 16. Just ask Norm Smith.
Yeah, Norm Smith, you know, I think he's going to start taking off his boots so he can use some toes.
Yeah.
Because Norm, I guess, needs to go back to math class. He had a little problem, I hear. But, yeah, we got a lot of good tournaments coming up. And even if you're not in tournaments or – hey, if there's a tournament that you guys know about that we don't, you can just email us at report@miiceguys.com and let us know about it. If they got a PDF of the thing or a website, shoot us that link, and we'll be more than happy to post it out on the page. And if we get it in time, we'll talk about it on the podcast so that everybody can find out about it.
Yep.
Tournaments are a lot of fun. Well, hey, guys, we're going to take another short, quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have a little more stories from the ice. So it's the MI Ice Guys, MIIceGuys.com, podcast and hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State. Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. And my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Cheese, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoes. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe. Hey, guys, we're back. You know, we almost didn't come back because we're sitting here swapping jigs. And having to look over at the whiteboard there and go, what are we talking about next? Mid-season techniques. Here we are into January. Fish are moving. The bait that was up around the shore and stuff, and the weed beds, it's kind of depleting. The oxygen's not the same up in those weeds anymore, so they're heading for deeper water. Now, the crappie, we know that they're kind of getting firmed up in their spots for suspension. And even some of the other species are occasionally getting up there suspended and stuff. I know we found some bluegill the other night that way.
Yeah, and we saw some crappie the other night that were being chased by some big predators because you see some big marks come in, and all of a sudden those little guys were all gone.
Yeah, that's one of the few days when I keep thinking about, you know, do we need a camera down there? That could be a lot of fun. Of course, then they probably call us Keith Stanton making videos and stuff instead of doing podcasts.
Mm-hmm. And you know there's big predators down there chasing these crappies when you catch one every now and then, and it's missing half a tail or it's got some wounds on its side.
Yeah, there's some scar tissue there.
Those things are being pursued.
And, you know, and if you're sitting there on your hole and the whole school disappears, there's probably a reason they left. But as we're talking about these with the suspended fish, you know, the graph is very important on that. And learning to read your graph. Now, we've got a couple of buddies that just picked up some new graphs. They're taking some lessons from us, and we hope they're paying good attention. We know our one buddy, Greeny, he caught on pretty quick to his new showdowner. And if you look on the Facebook page, we actually put a picture of the hopper bucket rig that we built for him on his shop or showdowner there so that he can hold the bucket one hand with his electronics and stuff and walk, hold a hole, checking for fish. It's a whole lot easier way to keep all your equipment together and everything. Now, the thing I was going to tell you about, Steph, is I rummaged through my garage and I found all those old drywall mud buckets that are only 3 gallons. And I threw them in and cleaned them up today here at the brewery so that we'll be able to get Greeny an inside bucket there for to slip into his equipment bucket. So that'll be cool.
That way you're not getting your battery and everything else all slimed up.
Yeah, there'll probably be a little conductivity issue there.
Yeah.
But some of the other things that we want to talk about here, you know, the bite is changing.
Yeah, we got a lot of snowfall lately, and it's really darkened the lakes up. You're going to notice a lot more weed beds dying off. Unless you found some winter hardy weeds that are holding fish.
And those are usually a little bit deeper in the water.
Mark those on your GPS and save them because they're going to be productive this winter for you.
Oh, yeah. And so as you're moving to deeper water and you're losing light, sometimes you need to change the color up on your lure. Now, a lot of guys were using those real bright, shiny, reflective lures and I know you were showing me some of these jigs here that have the Swarovski crystal in them and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of those things count on light to work. But the darker lures, actually, I've been scuba diving. I'm an ice diver. I go down underneath the ice. Yes, a lot of people think I'm mental. And I can look back up at that ice. And a darker colored object creates a better silhouette when they're looking up. And we've already talked and established fish feed up. So they're looking up for their food source that's falling down to them. So what, you know, with this darker bait, it gives you an opportunity to do that. And in the deeper water, we were discussing, like yesterday, you're out there with that 6 mil hog of a tungsten getting down the hole twice as fast as I am with my Scandia number 14. And I'm trying to go, I was catching more fish.
Yep.
But because I had gone down in size of lure. And that's another good point, is if the fish aren't biting. I think Myron was the first one to ever really bang that into my head, is if the fish aren't biting, move down.
Drop down in size.
Drop down in size. Yes, it's going to take longer to get down that hole. But getting a good tungsten, there's a lot of good brands out there. You know, our buddies at K&E provide a lot of those good ones. Get you down the hole faster with tungsten than lead. And in the deep water, that really makes a difference. Now, we talked in an earlier episode that lead in the shallow water, about the same time. But when you're covering more distance, that difference really shows up.
And it shows up in the action of the jig. The tungsten has a different reaction because you and I fish a lot of plastics. And even if you're fishing meat, it's going to give a different action to your wax worms or your spikes and your plastic versus a lead jig.
Now, I've also noticed that when I'm fishing the smaller jigs, that I'll go to these, like the noogies or the little whiptails or those ones I've got out of Finesse Plastics in Wisconsin that are just a straight little half a millimeter sparkle tail. That littler plastic with a finer tail on it will dance a little easier with that lighter jig.
You barely have to jig it to get that thing to move. You can't hold it still.
Or those, what are those little spider-looking grubs that we got that out of the KJB plastics that mm-hmm. they really, really dance, and they've got side fringes that dance all over and stuff. And really what it is it's the food dance.
It's attracting, yep.
You got to bring those fish in. So as you're doing these things and moving to different holes, pulling up your Navionics app and starting to learn where the little flats are, where maybe those bluegill are going to be hiding into a low weed bed that's down there. A lot of those maps are marked with where there's weeds and what the bottom is. If it's sand, probably not a lot of weeds. If it's muck, you might get in a lot better weed growth down in that area.
Mm-hmm. Or wigglers or bloodworms, anything down the lake that could be hatching down there.
Yeah,
to be attracting the fish.
And you need something that's going to be providing oxygen as well, because oxygen not only is important to the fish, but also to what they eat. And if fish, we've went over this before, fish are down there for two things, eat and reproduce.
Yep.
And if they're not finding something to eat and it's not the season to reproduce, what are they doing but swimming around and waiting to do one or the other?
They're looking for their next meal and avoiding predators. So thick weeds they'll be hiding in if there's heavy predator pressure, or they'll all be out there in that suspended water where it's harder for those predators to find them.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, watching what is going on with other guys, I am still, every time we get on the fish and find the fish, marking it on my GPS and writing down some notes. I even started carrying a little notebook.
Yeah.
Where I'm writing down notes and a keyword that corresponds to the waypoint that I set on my GPS app, just so I know where to go back to.
Now, well, right now, what I've noticed is when we've been out there fishing, early season, you'd find a big pocket of fish. Now you're finding smaller pockets of suspended fish, and then come later in the season, that pocket of fish grows bigger, but it moves faster. It's just moving around because the predators are getting hungry, getting geared up for that spring reproduction cycle.
Yeah, they've got to have some, they got to
yep.
put on, because fish quit eating when they start screwing. Mm-hmm. All right, and they got to start going doing that mating dance and everything. They don't stop to eat as much.
So when they get to that point later in the season, it's good to go down with something big, because you got to get down to them fast and they're going to be active and feeding. But right now, if you're not getting them on that first drop down and getting them to start picking them off, you know, change up colors first and then drop down in size.
Yeah,
that's going to be your big keys.
And you know, if you don't have some of those 14s and 16s or the 2 mils and the 1 mils that are down there in your box, you know, go check out a couple of those bait shops and see who's still got some left. I know I was at a couple of places that were pretty picked over, but then there was a couple of them, you're going to pay a little bit more, but they still have some jigs available and still a nice selection of them. Don't be afraid to shop all summer too. Well, mid-season fishing, it gets a little tougher. But you don't have to worry about falling through the ice most of the time.
Yeah, and being still mid-season, you can also still get good deals on eBay and get them delivered rather quickly.
Yeah.
Jigs are easy for people to ship.
Yeah, they'll send those first-class mail, and they'll come right in, too.
Yeah.
A lot of plastics as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, when we come back, we're going to have some more tips and tricks for you. And actually, we're going to do a little reviewing of some of the new Scandia stuff that's out there. Our good buddies down there at Caney gave us some stuff to review and try, and I've been rinsing a lot of lures and putting a lot of crappie in the bucket, and got into some bluegill the other day too. So when we come back, it's the MI Ice Guys, hard water fishing, and we're podcasting about it, drinking a little beer. We'll be right back. Hey, remember to stop on out to miiceguys.com and report the ice thickness where you're fishing. Help us all out in knowing where there's safe ice. Check out the map online at miiceguys.com. Hey, Steph, do you know what that sound is?
That's a jig.
That's a new jig in a package. I love that sound, man. You sit there and you come back, and all of a sudden you need to get a basket at the shop because you found so many cool things out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but every time I go into one of the bait shops, it's just like, well, I got to have that. I got to have that.
I know when I walked into Cabela's the first of the season, I'm like, they have all these new Northland jigs, the K&E jigs, the HT jigs, the dangler this, the dangler that. You know, it was like,
colors,
wow.
Moons. I liked what the K&E boys have done, you know, naming it after towns in the UP. You know, they got the Pelkies that we've been using for a while, and then the Tapiolas. And then they got the Sitkas out this year, and yep. that's been a lot of fun. And, you know, they came out in the, a lot of new colors. And if you guys haven't been out on the K&E Stopper website, they've got an excellent PDF out there that shows you a guide to all the different colors and stuff. Because every time I start bragging about one, somebody says, well, which one is that?
What number is it?
Yeah, which one is that? And then, you know, and I got to look at it, and I says, well, you know, that's a number 10, 108. And they're like, oh, all right, I got to look that up.
And everybody at the show was looking for, I don't know what number
it was. Oh, that was the
175. 175. It was like, where's the 175s? I need some of those.
I was, you know, I blame that one on Bill Ferris.
What's so big about the purple?
Because
purple,
I think,
and white, I think it was, or something.
Yeah, I think, oh, there it is right there. I found one.
Yeah.
Purple with a glow belly.
Mm-hmm. That one there was just
number 14, 175. I better put
everybody
that in my
wanted
pocket.
That one. You better hide that one. I'll grab it on you.
I might have another one for you.
It's all right.
Stuff. But, you know, they came out with a lot of new glows, and then the moon colors as well from K&E. Those guys are doing a lot of great things with it. They actually, you've seen the metallics that they came out with, the reflective silver, gold. And I noticed on the package it says genuine gold plating.
Ooh.
Ooh, nice sticker there.
We'll have to have them charge more for those.
Good job, Jim, on that one, or Jack, whoever thought of that one. Yeah. But there's just a lot of them. And every time that you and I hit the ice, and we talked about it in the last segment, changing things up,
and don't
having a good arsenal.
Yeah, don't forget. I mean, these a lot of these jigs you'll see are like a, have a horizontal presentation, but don't forget about the vertical selection that they also have.
Well,
in
tungsten. Those the smelt sticks, the Sitkas.
Yeah,
you know,
and like the like a tungsten type moon glow.
Yeah, moon glow jigs. Those things are great. Those are not a K&E product.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. I've got a lot of those there in my little case and stuff. But different sizes and different things. Just mix it up, you know, a bunch. And if your buddy says go get a, you know, a number 127 pink metallic, you know, maybe you better get one. It's kind of cool. Now, I did get a chance to try, and I've used them a couple of times, but I really do like this new Anise Bomb plastic that K&E brought out. A lot of guys keep asking me, where do you get these plastics? Now I can say, run down to Meijer. Because K&E is handled by Meijer. And they had these things on the shelf, and they did a real cool little packaging with these things. They got three colors with like three or four of each color in there. They've got a chartreuse or bright yellow there, a glow, and a rose or a red in one package. And they put a little anise smell to them and stuff. I'm not thoroughly convinced on the smell thing, but what the heck. Can't hurt.
No, the action is what catches the fish, and those ball tail plastics have a phenomenal action.
Now, one of the really cool things that they did on this packaging is on the back, and these K&E guys were really brilliant about doing this, is that you can bite down or clip off a number of these balls and present this in, like, they're shown in their illustration four different ways.
Yep.
And I've actually figured out a couple other ways to hook them and stuff. Changing it up until you find something work is one of the real keys.
Well, I don't know if most people know what wacky style is. If you're a bass fisherman, you know. But hooking up a plastic wacky style is basically you're hooking it in the middle and letting it wag across that that hook.
Well, I know we got the out of KJB, we got those whiskers.
Yep.
They have the little, I guess, kind of a ball in the center, but then there's just two long whips off of it.
Yep.
And I know I got into the bluegill with those last spring.
Mm-hmm.
And even after we got out off the ice and we were just casting from shore one day, I was using those because I was like, nothing's working. Let's try something different. So I went wacky style on that.
Yep.
It was really cool. Now,
and don't forget, use those ice fishing jigs in the spring and in the summertime.
Oh, yeah.
You catch, throw them under a bobber.
When you need something delicate and light, you got them.
You got them in your box. Use them.
Yep, grab those out. Don't just rule it out and think you got to stick an old worm from under a log on it.
It's a great weapon.
Oh, yeah. Hey, some of the other cool things that we've been seeing, I saw that this year K&E's got a package set up with the auger adapter and the retainer ring. Now, the other night out on the ice, the guy said, what the heck's that thing on your auger? And they were referring to the ring, the plastic disc that I've got on there.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, you know, that's bigger than the auger. Yeah, yeah. Why you got that on there? So when the auger comes unchucked from the drill,
It don't fall down the hole.
It don't fall down the hole, and you don't got to go down and spend another $100 on another auger.
Remember some guys talking at the show, they're like, oh, it's a splash guard to keep water off your drill. And I was like, well, maybe, but more importantly, it keeps your drill from falling down the hole when it falls out of your chuck.
Yeah, like, I think maybe
they're like, oh.
Maybe we need to get one of our buddies that's a cartoonist to draw us a little splash guard cartoon. That'd be funny. I think maybe Jack could put that on the packaging for K&E. But some other cool things that we've been seeing come out. I saw that there was new line of blades out there for the augers. That was cool. And there's, I can't stress enough. Sharp blades, for us, saves battery. Yeah. For the guys that are hand cranking, saves back.
Oh, yeah. And arms and shoulders. You name it.
Oh, just ask our buddy Chad, who has to drill all the holes by hand for the Worlds.
Yeah, he carries 5 or 6 extra sets of blades.
Oh, yeah. Keep your fits all in the pocket, too, so you can change them, a little crescent wrench.
Mm-hmm.
But, being prepared and having those things, getting a variety of jigs. What other cool lures have you seen out there?
The Bentley USA.
Yeah?
They have the Swarovski epoxied jigs.
Now, you can pick those up through Sportsman's Direct, right?
Something similar.
Yeah, yeah.
But
the Bentley, you see those over at the shops, right? I don't remember which shop I saw those at.
They're very hard to find. The best place to find them is online.
Yep, and those are really cool.
They got Pro Packs out there on sale, and even some Mega Pro Packs with 300 and 1,000 count in them if you really want to stock up on a boatload of jigs.
Now, right here in Michigan, we've got the guys over at Action Tackle Products. Now, they gave us a number of different things to try. They gave us some spring bobbers and things, and also those multi-jig rigs for the...
Yeah, the perch with the spreaders on them.
And they got little glow balls on them. They're kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get a perch day coming up here soon, and we're going to give those a good whirl for them. But those guys were kind enough to send us some of those over and wanted to give that a try. They hooked up with us through Phil from Angler Magazine. If you guys haven't picked up Angler Magazine, it's free at a lot of the local bait shops around Michigan. And for the West Michigan edition of that, I guess you'd call it, we're actually writing some articles for that. We do the Grand Rapids Fishing Report, and we're also doing a series of articles on Chad's quest for the Worlds. Yep. As he's preparing and going to Worlds. And remember, Valentine's Day, I think he's on a plane. So his Valentine's going to be sitting home with the kids while he's on that 20-hour flight or whatever it is to Belarus. Now, for those of you, get on the computer, open up a new browser window, and type in Belarus. And you will see that the big city is Minsk that they fly into. And I think I spotted, I got to check with Chad, but there's I don't know if it's old Russian submarine docks or what, but there's this big old ship's channel or whatever in there that I think is where they're going to do the tournament.
It's real close to there. What they've done is taken the Olympic rowing lanes because they're a fixed depth and a fixed length, and they have these little fish in it, and that's what they're going to be fishing in.
Well, from the satellite view I saw, that's got to be the place.
And those Olympic rowing lanes are huge because last year's in Britain how wide those things are when they got 6-8 boats across. And they're those big paddles for those guys.
Yeah.
So they're wide. And what they'll do actually over there in Russia is they'll screen those shipping lanes to make sure it's all the same size fish in there. They did that 3-4 years ago.
Oh, my gosh. That's craziness. Mm-hmm. Oh, the turmoils that they're going to have in that. And, hey, we're pushing on our buddy Chad that he's going to use his Android phone to record some MP3 interviews over there. So we might get some Russians, some Finlanders telling us some ice fishing jokes, and who knows. Probably Myron and Bodecker slipping up and doing something crazy. Because if you guys haven't caught out onto the USA Ice Team website and Facebook page, they've got a lot of crazy videos that are linked there and stuff. A lot of good fun stuff going on.
It's neat to go out there and see the palm rods, the wrap rods that the Finnish and Swedish guys use.
Yeah, I wrote the article on the palm rods and also on chumming.
Yep.
So pick up a copy of that Angler Magazine. We were privileged enough to be able to write a couple articles for them, but they got a lot of good articles in there and a lot of good fishing reports.
And you can read them online as well, right?
Yeah, they're available online and right on the MI Ice Guys. I put the links as soon as Phil sends me the link that they're posted. We put those out there too. It's a free magazine if you pick it up on paper. If you need something for the shanty or for the library reading room, whatever. But hey, we're the MI Ice Guys, and we're going to be right back to wrap this thing up, kind of finish and check our knots. But always make sure MIIceGuys.com is a favorite in your browser. Listening to our podcast, checking out our ice map, post some pictures up on the Facebook. We'll have a lot of fun with it. We'll be right back. Hey, when I'm heading out fishing, I want to grab me a couple of beers. I like to have pop top off one. And my choice is Schmoe's. Bone Crusher, Treasure Chest, Hop Knocker if you dare. Amber Teas, IPA, and Pale Ale. Grab the Brewer's Six. It'll do you well out on the ice, and you can even share with your pals. So stop by your local bottle shop and grab some Schmoe's. See you out there on the ice, guys. Drive safe. Okay, guys, we're back, and we're going to kind of tie this one up and bring her back around and wrap it up for today. But in this segment, we just kind of decided
gear and gadgets.
Gear and gadgets. What's in our pockets?
Yeah.
Some kind of cool things. So Steph's wearing one of his ice jackets, and he was just digging through the pockets, and he's bringing out all kinds of things. One of the coolest things that is probably one of the most useful things out there on the ice are these little containers that, you know, we talk about our plastics, we talk about our jigs and things like that. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You can go spend a bunch of money on them, but, you know, both Steph and I are fans of eBay, and we get out there on eBay and we find some things, and not all of it is listed under ice fishing. Steph was just showing me some of these multi-compartment containers. Each one has its own little lid. It kind of looks like a pill container, but he picked it up under a beading thing for, you know, these people that are making the bead jewelry and stuff like that. And what's that got? 8 compartments on it? He's counting.
8.
He's counting. He heard about Norm not being able to count. So, yeah, he's counting them up. But 8 different compartments, and he's got 8 different plastics in there, and he carries a couple of those with the different sizes of plastics in there. Now, also talking about containers, container for your jigs. Now, he's got these little plastic see-through ones because he likes to look at them. He carries multiples of these.
When you grab your jigs out, it's nice to have a clear plastic container so you can look and see not only size but color.
Yeah, kind of pick it out before you open it up and take a chance of spilling.
One with like hole-in-the-head jigs in it, one with the Bentley Swarovski crystals on them. I got 4 mils, 3 mils, 5 and 6 mil box, and then I got all the way down to 2 and 2.5 mil, small stuff.
We don't fish the world, so we don't need the 1 mils.
Yeah.
That's just crazy talk there.
But
just a little container, and to describe these containers to you guys, they've got a little bit of foam backing in them, and you know, it's like that super dense foam stuff, so that you can hook the jig in there.
Yeah, they're slotted. And I believe they're made by Angler's Image. I've only found them on eBay or online. It's a fly box, essentially. They're for doing dry flies or streamers and such.
There you go, guys. You can run out to the local fly shop and see what they've got in them as well. But just something to keep your jigs organized. You know, a tangle of sharp hooks is probably not going to be productive out there with cold fingers. And especially, you know, you look at my fingers. I work with liquid all day. They're kind of chapped. They're kind of dry and cracked, and all those little hooks do is just hook into all those little cracks. So organizing up your jigs is a really good use for a small plastic container, whether you're using one that has the backing in it or just one that has a number of compartments. Now, live bait. You remember, everybody used to carry the old skull can, you know, and that was better than the little Gordon's Jello shot thing that you buy the bait
with,
in
with
that
a plastic lid that busts, and your little critters are crawling around your pocket, and then when you get home they're crawling around the house, and the old lady's on your case like
because you had a hatch.
Yeah,
you don't want a hatch in your jacket. That's bad.
These bait pucks are phenomenal.
Now the bait puck, if you guys haven't seen them, they're a thread on top. I've seen about 3 different sizes of them. And there's the brand that's called Bait Puck, but there's a few others. But they've got a little bit of insulation to them.
Everybody's got them now.
Yeah. So they're not, they look about the size of a hockey puck.
I mean, this one's a Strike Master. Clam's got them. HT has them. Everybody's got them. It's a bait puck.
But it's got a little bit of insulation in it, too, so that it's not going to let your bait freeze up right away.
Unless it's like today.
Unless it's like today. Yeah.
And then you put them on the inside coat pocket.
Yep.
Because they still will rattle around and freeze in the outside pocket.
Or like your grandpa said, you know, tuck them between your cheek and gum and warm them up.
It works.
Yeah, but you don't want to chew up too much of that protein. You got to catch some fish with them.
Hey, put hair in your chest.
Is that why we have so much hair on our chest?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there might be some females that are listening. We're both single guys. But some other things that, you know, being big fans of eBay, forceps. You know, you can get these cheap made-in-India forceps that are really handy for pulling a hook down onto that fish that, you know, especially bluegill. They suck them down.
And they got small mouths.
Yeah, and my big old fingers don't get in there to get them loose, so you can get in there with a pair of forceps. Now, I actually carry a little, you know, 6-inch set over on the one side. And what do you got there, Steph?
That's a 6-inch curved set of forceps. The curved set, I like it, and because it also has big finger holes in it, so you can get your fingers in there. Because when you're cold and you're out there in the elements, it's nice to be able to get your fingers in there.
Yeah, and these forceps are also locking.
And they're stainless steel. They're never going to rust.
Yeah. And you can pick them up. I've seen them 4-packs for like $10.
And I attach them to my coat. A lot of your coats are going to have D-rings or some kind of hooks on them to attach accessories to. And I use like a carabiner retractable lanyard. Hooks right to my forceps, so they're right handy hanging on my vest on the right-hand side.
That looks like your badge lanyard from work. What's your badge on now?
Very similar.
Yeah. Very similar, okay. Yeah. But, you know, you always know those little reels. You remember the old janitor reel? I know they sell them over at Harbor Freight, or you can get them on eBay. But it's just a little cheap plastic retractable reel that you can put things on that you need all the time. Now, another thing that I keep on my coat, on one of those retractable reels, is a little pair of nail clippers, just to be able to nip off that tailing piece of line after I retie a hook. Another thing you might put in your pocket and keep along is one of those eyelet cleaners. You know, it's got the little point on there. You know, when they paint these jigs.
In case you forgot this fall to clean all your jig eyelets and get them ready, it's kind of handy to have on you.
Or you had that spontaneous purchase when you were stopping to buy bait.
Yeah. Oh, I just got to have that one.
Got to have that one. And then now you want to clean it and get it ready and tie it on, because quite often they paint over those holes.
And a lot of the new plastics and jigs require a UV light. So it's nice to have a little UV light that's attached to the lanyard where you can charge your glow plastics or jigs.
Just one of those little button lights or a little cheap flashlight or something like that, like the LED idea on those. Because the battery, as Steph was saying, the one on his coat is like 3 years old and the thing still isn't dead. So, and probably gave, I don't know, $2 for it or something. Just cheapy stuff.
Yeah.
Now, we can't forget our MI counter. Now, we do sell those at some bait shops around West Michigan. And what it is it's a bead system. And I think, Steph, we ought to put those out there on the website so that guys can order them from us.
I'll throw them out there on eBay.
Yeah, it's a little bead system that every time you catch a fish, you slide the bead. You guys that are avid listeners know that we fish the hopper bucket because we are ice trollers. We move around. That way we don't pile the fish up on the ice. We put them right in the bucket. And, you know, you get 4 crappie in and you keep throwing crappie in and they always look like 4 crappie in the bottom of the bucket, but you can never tell how thick they are. Well, you know, you get excited and you start talking and telling stories and talking to the other guys. You forget how many you have. But if you discipline yourself and with the MI counter, slide a bead every time you throw one in the bucket, you're going to come pretty darn close to knowing exactly how many fish you have in there, especially when you're worried about the guy in the green pickup truck that sets up at the boat ramp and warmth and waiting for to see who's coming off the ice and ask you, how were they biting today? How many did you get? Well, let's count them. And that can be some bad news.
That's one thing I've learned, too, but fishing different states and encountering different COs in various states. In Minnesota and Wisconsin, we've encountered a few. And they weren't so concerned with your limit, but what they wanted to do was get samples from your fish with scales and stuff to take those back and do studies on the fish and do the more of the biological studies on them.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Now, what else you got in your pockets? Anything else cool? I know in mine I carry a knife. Now, it's just a little cheapy plastic handled knife that I use to clean things off.
Yeah, I got knife and you know, keep my plastics in there.
I got spare gloves. Yes, always spare gloves in there just in case. And you know, there's often a time when you get into a situation where you might nick yourself or something like that, get bleeding a little bit. I've come up with a solution to that stuff. I don't even know if I told you yet. But you remember those little latex gloves?
Mm-hmm.
You can throw one of those over a cut or a finger or something that you nicked or pricked or whatever, and it'll take care of it. It'll keep it clean. It'll keep the mess out of it. You don't get so much fish goo in it. And then when you get back to the house, you can put a Band-Aid on it. Because trying to put a sticky Band-Aid on out in the wind, no way. No way.
One of the other things, too, is to hook a golf towel to your shirt or to your jacket.
Oh, yeah.
With one of the carabiners or just a clip.
Yep. Put it over on the side where you the hand that you always take the fish off with.
Yeah.
I always take mine off with my left hand because I keep my rod in my right. But after you put that slimy fish in the bucket, you want to wipe it on something. Now, if you wipe it on your jacket, now you got to wash your jacket.
Yep.
But if you wipe it on that towel, you can just unclip the towel.
You bring home a sticky, smelly jacket
to
the woman, and she's like, where you could just take that little rag and throw it in the laundry. And
maybe one of those other reasons why I don't have a woman. But anyway, guys, stuff in your pockets, little lights, little things that make your life a little more convenient and stuff. If you've got an idea about it, we'd love to hear about it. You can email us at report@miiceguys.com, or we have a new section on the website called Ask an Ice Guy. Now, you can just fill out the little form there, and if you got a question, doesn't matter how dumb it is, go ahead, ask us. And it'll pop out to Chad and Steph and I, all at three at the same time. You might get three different wild answers on it. But go ahead and ask your questions, guys. We're going to have some fun with that. Hey, we look forward to next time coming back. And make sure that you're drinking Michigan beer, because that keeps me employed. And you're behaving out there on the ice, courtesy to your fellow fishermen, and obeying the rules. Because we love to keep this going forever. And the kids that are coming along after us need to be able to fish, too. So, I'm Chaz.
I'm Steph.
And we're the MI Ice Guys, hard water podcasting in the Great Lakes State. MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. And may thaw soon.